The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
By the way, hold the calls for right now. We'll probably do open phones for a few minutes a little bit later this morning after we have Greg Roberts talking about where we're going with the ice and the snow and the tumult and the... I mean, you know, hey, if you're a school kid, you're loving this. I know the neighborhood kids are absolutely loving the time off, but adults, on the other hand, are like, how do I get through all this, right? We'll kick that around with Greg coming up. Joining me right now, though, is a state representative from District 3, House District 3, Dwayne Younger, who I have affectionately nicknamed the Junkyard Dog. How you doing, Dwayne? Welcome back.
I'm doing good this morning here in Salem. No snow here.
No snow. Okay, good. Well, you've escaped that part of it, though. The swamp, though, is relatively deep here. You know, we were talking the other day about the protests for illegal aliens. Actually, people right there by the state capitol pounding on the cop doors and everything else and kicking stuff around. And are you aware, was anyone arrested out of all of that, stuff that was going on over the weekend, which we had Mexican nationalists saying that ICE is not welcome here, we're not going to let you take our people? You know, I love it when foreign nationals just stand up and say, hey, yeah, we want to continue to break the law. They're almost like saying, come arrest me, in my opinion. But this is Oregon. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm not aware of any arrest. What we'll see today, excuse me, because we have 50 protests, 50 states. One day starts at noon at your capital. We've already been warned that we might be swarmed here. Maybe ICE will be here today.
Is this the hissy fit brigade? In other words, we didn't elect Elon, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's we the people reject Project 2025 kind of a thing.
Oh.
I call it the poor loser protest.
Uh-huh.
They're having a meltdown because, you know what, the non-profit racket money, you know, that they push through these agencies is, you know, it happens here in Oregon all the time. I can just look at some of these bills and it's, you know, non-profit money here, non-profit money there, and then we put money back in the Democrats' pockets.
It has been in many ways a legalized money laundering operation. We've even talked about this with the homeless crisis here in Southern Oregon, and how to respond to the homeless crisis, well, you end up writing big checks out of the taxpayer's treasury and pocket to, well, as an example, and I don't mean to pick on Stab and Wagon, but it's just one that, you know, that comes to mind, their business model, handing out needles to the homeless, the drug-addicted homeless, rather than finding a way to treat drug-addicted homeless or else making sure that we don't have people drug-addicted in the first place. But those people largely will then recycle campaign donations to elect Democrats in the state House and state Senate, right? That's pretty much how it works in our state.
You can go to the ORSTAR and you can look into contributions and see where they're coming from, what nonprofits or what groups are handing money, you know, just like the tribes. The tribes don't pay taxes, but geez, if you're up here in a committee, you hear about the tribes all the time.
And the reason you hear about the tribes all the time is because, and I understand if I were the tribes, I'd probably be donating money to the politicians, too, to get laws and procedures and policies that would be more favorable to your community. Right. It's just human nature we're talking about. Right.
Yeah. The tribes are doing what's best for the tribes.
Yeah. What they're doing. Yeah, exactly. Not necessarily what's best for us. There were people outside the tribe. Maybe we'll put it that way. Yeah. You know, everything about speaking of the tribal situation, the hissy fits, of course, have been going on because of the Coquills tribe with the new, it's a non-gaming casino. It's like a casino, but it's not, it's not slot machines and things like that. It's like video poker and all the rest of it in South Medford. Has that been a big deal in the state legislature? Because the whole deal before about you would have your casino on tribal land was always kind of an informal one arranged by past governors. Have you heard anything about that? Anything else bubbling?
I have not heard anything. I got a letter from somebody from Jackson County. I don't represent Jackson County, but it's not any committee that I'm on or I've heard anything from, you know, our meetings here as a caucus. That is not a priority that I've heard of as that casino, which I would say the tribes are going to get probably what the tribes want.
Okay. All right. Well, see, there we go. That's the quote. There's your quote for the day from State Rep. Dwayne Junker. Tribes will get what the tribes get. All right.
Well, when the governor highlights, I've visited all the tribe, blah, 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 you know, and takes all these pictures, and I just say, well, they're going to get what they want because the governor, you know, loves the tribes, you know, and the tribes love patting the governor's pocket. So this is how I feel about it.
Wash, rinse, repeat, yeah. In other words, right?
Yeah, you don't see the governor down there talking to us about our wildfire maps or our homeless problems or, you know, anything else. You know, there's a culture up here. And I kind of wrote these words down before we start. And like every committee, it's about DEI, culture, diversity, inclusiveness, equality, tribes, gender. You know,
everything except something that actually matters to the health, welfare, and safety of actually people who are living and paying taxes in Oregon, honestly.
It really is. You know, this is a great, great one. You got Portland State in my committee. I think we're going to vote tomorrow, giving them a urban, whatever it is, designation so they can apply for more of these grants. But, you know, and my comment to Portland State is, well, why am I going to put the gold standard on Portland State? And I just saw this article on February 3rd. It says they're under investigation for anti-Semitism. They're one of the five colleges, you know.
Yeah, I know the Trump administration wants to take them to task on that. Speaking of which, Representative Junker, I wanted to ask you about a email or a letter that you sent to Steve Statum, who's the president of Oregon Health and Science University in Portland. And this having to do with is this all about transgenderism and all of the gender-affirming care that OHSU Hospital has been putting out? I mean, that's been big business up at OHSU. How did that go, and what did you ask, or what did you bring up?
Well, I asked him if he was going to follow federal law because they're using federal Medicaid or Medicare dollars cannot be used for this these transition, you know, for children.
And this is huge. This is huge money up at OHSU. This is a big part of their revenue stream, isn't it? From what I recall.
Yes. So it's been great that the Trump administration is going to cut off the federal funds because money talks, and you can feel the squirming in these committees, because I always bring it up. Are you going to follow federal law? Are you going to risk,
Are you going to risk the grant stream funding going into Oregon, which already takes about a third of the budget is passed through funding from the federal government right now?
I've asked that for every college, and I've asked, you know, him, and of course he said he was, but then I heard, you know, 2 days later he doubled down the governor, they're going to continue to, this care that needs to be to these children.
Okay, so this, in other words, we're looking at then a state of Oregon that is in hunkered down. We are going to do everything to resist, or in this case, I would imagine OHU will probably try to hide or launder the money. I would figure, I'm just kind of, spitballing here with you. Launder the money into a different way so that they still manage to do all of their genital mutilation surgeries on the kids, right? Is that a fair assessment, the way it's looking like? These are the battle lines being drawn in Oregon?
I would say that's a fair assessment of, the overall picture is we're going to continue to do what, you know, the governor says Oregon does. You know, Oregon, they're like the children that, I look at this like this way. So the federal law is the overall law of the world, you know, of the United States. And then, you know, you have state law. Mm-hmm. You can't supersede federal law. But in Oregon, it's like having a child that says, I don't like your rules. I'm going to get a lawyer and sue you, Dad. You know?
Well, that certainly appears what Dan Rayfield's all about in the AG's office, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like this child that's living in your house is going to sue you because they don't want to follow the rules. Everything you do in the federal law, we're not going to do because Oregon has its own rules. Well, and then Trump says, well, then I'm cutting your money off. Well, wouldn't you do that as a parent? Well, it's I don't know how to explain it anymore. That these people are having hissy fits here, but there is an overlying thing. I mean, I feel that everything they want to do is to hurt Southern Oregonians. And I'm just looking at one other thing. The education, it's not really – they say rural people, but I just throw that in there just to be putting in rural people. There's – like I had yesterday, I had a, we were talking about the Oregon Promise in a committee. The Oregon Promise this year, you know, that was a promise that every high school grad can go to community college for 2 years for free. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not true. And I brought this up. I said my daughter, that's at RCC, did not get the Oregon Promise this year. They ran out of money, and my kid didn't qualify. But yesterday, in this committee, they wanted to add another 35,000 more people to this, and they want to open it up. They don't even have the money to do that. I don't know what you could – there's like an ending budget for these people. But it's not about the budget that we want to be spent. It's not taking care of our law enforcement or our – the land that state owns. It's always about these diverse groups or the
so everyone's equal in the state of Oregon, but there are the diverse groups that are way more equal than others. I'm going to use an Animal Farm, George Orwell kind of reference.
Yeah,
right.
If you turned on to any committee that I'm in, they always talk about DEI, how great we've got. They use the word colored people or people of color. It's never about a neutral of anything. It's always about DEI hire.
And I also find it interesting that we actually have people of color, if you want to use their term of art, in state power. Like, is it Manning as an example? Who are the people that are pushing for reparations? They actually want money from.
You got Frederick, Senator Frederick.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, these people are all people of color. You have Nelson, Representative Nelson. You got Isidore. Everybody that's people of color.
So everyone who has never been a slave, all of these individuals who have never been a slave, right? I just want to be clear.
Yeah.
Wanting money from people who never had slaves. That's what's running a lot of policy right now in Oregon. And they're acting as if they're, for some reason, that they are weak individuals as they are there in their positions of power in the state legislature. It astounds me, Dwayne. It just does.
And they act like, so if you looked around how diverse it is up here, it doesn't represent the population of Oregon.
Well, diversity doesn't mean white males, though, okay?
Well, the population of Oregon is like 70-something, 72 or something percent white.
Yeah.
That is not the diversity up here. There's more black people that represent there. There's people more of Native American here. There's more Asian here that represent. There's more people that are, LGBTQ, whatever, up here, way more than represents the thing. So I look at Oregon and go, well, I think we're already way more than we need, and we just keep adding it more. I think they would love it if everybody was
non-white. If everybody was non-white and especially non-male. That is the that is the other aspect that I think is very important. So this trend, which is in motion, will likely remain in motion until voters change their minds. But I haven't seen any push from voters changing their mind. Okay. Before we take off, though, Senate Bill 79, have you looked into that at all? I know it's not in your committee, and it's because you're in the House right now. But I know that Senator Golden, who we're going to talk to tomorrow, seems to have even more interferences in private land that they would like to go. And it's ostensibly being done to fix problems with Senate Bill 762, which had already been fixed before. Are you hearing any talk from constituents and the scuttlebutt within the state legislature at this point in time?
I received a lot of emails about one of these this bills in particular. Of course, I can't weigh in until it come to the House side. That's how it kind of works. And it's a committee bill. There's nobody that's sponsored on the Senate side. I just pulled it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't sound like it has a lot of push on it because there's nobody that's it's on there. But I'm sure it's going to get a hearing because who's in charge of this committee is Senator Golden. You know, if you don't know, the Democrats run all the committees. They get to say what bills get to be heard. You know, so all my bills, I got a bill actually heard that I'm going to be hearing today. It's about real estate. And then I got one next year. It's about next week about veterans. And so those bills are not really controversial. They're kind of, so they're fine listening to those, you know. But anything that's got anything to do that they don't like, they're not going to allow you to, you know, be heard. That's why Noah Robinson's bill will probably, you know, Senator Robinson's bill will probably never be heard because.
I mean, it's great that he put it up there, but they're not going to give him a hearing on it. You know, that's the one to repeal.
Yeah.
762. All right. Hey, Dwayne, you got a second to, I know you got meetings here in just a few minutes. Can I grab a call or two with listeners and see what they have to say? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
Now, by the way, if you're on hold, I'm hoping you're looking for State Representative Dwayne Junker, because that's who we're talking to right now. Hello, caller. You're on with Dwayne. You want to talk with him?
Yeah, I sure did. And as a representative specifically, the apparently the Treasury was broken into by Elon Musk over the weekend.
Yeah, that's the federal that's the federal Treasury, though. This has nothing to do with the state Treasury.
Right. But what is Oregon doing to protect? I mean, he could fleece the world in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, I think you're a fool. David, I think you're a fool if that's what you think is going on in D.C. right now. No, I'm not even going there. Sorry about that, Dwayne. Every now and then you get a ridiculous one that comes through. If that's what you think is going on with Doge in Washington, D.C., then really all you're doing is repeating MSNBC talking points. That's all I can say. So on that note, Dwayne, I guess we'll cut you loose till next week then, okay? Till next time.
And, okay, there will still be more swamp here.
Yeah, there will be still more swamp. And I think David, if he were up here, would be over in the 50 states, 50 state capitals, and 50 protests. He'd be one of the members yelling at you. Tell us how that goes.
He's still got time to get up here by noon.
Yeah, he's
see him here.
All right. Thanks for the call, Dwayne. State Rep. Dwayne Junker. This is the Bill Myers Show, 7:33 at KMED.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no
residential electrical jobs. Call Completed Electric Plus and check those jobs off your list. Visit CompletedElectricPlus.com.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Steve's in Sunny Valley. Hello, Steve. How you doing?
Good morning. Yeah, I just have a question for David. Doge has been tasked with doing a forensic audit. How do you do a forensic audit without having access to the numbers?
I think you can't. That's just it. And for all of this talk that's coming out in the liberal media right now at this point, trying to implicate Elon Musk is somehow doing something untoward, you have to be able to trace the payments. You have to be able to look at it. You have to have access to it. That doesn't mean you're writing checks to yourself. That's not what is going on at all. What really is happening, though, is the draining and the spotlighting of really bad NGO funding going through the situation right now. It just astounds me that people are... I mean, and listen, I'm no fan of Elon Musk. There's a lot of things I'm not a fan of Elon Musk over, including some of the grifting that happened in the past, but this is a different task, and we have to let it happen. That's the way I see it, Steve. What about you?
And the best remedy is sunshine. We need to shine a light in there and see what's been going on, because it looks like USAID has been responsible for a lot of the bad stuff going on in the world.
Indeed. Let's talk with Francine. I think this is Francine, isn't it? Hi.
Hi. Oh, after all these years, you finally recognize my number.
Well, every now and then, I see someone. I know Minor Dave. I know when Matt calls. I know other people like that. But anyway, give me a quick one, and then we got Mr. Outdoors online. We're going to get with him in a minute or two. Okay.
Okay. Well, I was going to fill you in on that computer for the senior program, but I also wanted to say real quick. And if I don't have time for the other, I'll say this, that people that are complaining that we didn't elect Musk, so we don't have to, you know, listen to Musk. Well, gee, we did elect Trump, so maybe you guys need to start listening to Trump. I mean, the space between their ears, you know, it's just...
Well, Trump tasked Elon Musk and frankly, his team of five or six, they're not autistic, but they are on the spectrum. They're very high functioning, really smart. No, they themselves admit this.
Know.
You know, because Elon admits he's on the spectrum, like kind of a mild case of Asperger's or whatever it is. The brains function differently. They're about pattern recognition and digging deep into this. And he has these engineer types that are working through it and looking at the financial patterns of spending that don't look right. And that's...
No, I know all that. Just saying that, you know, the disconnect that, oh, well, we didn't vote for him, so we don't have to listen to him. But then, okay, well, then why don't you guys listen to the president who did get elected? These people that cry and moan all the time about everything, they're so selective. They have no actual sense of continuity or what's real.
Well, the thing is, it's their democracy. When they talk about, we're here, in fact, that's what they're going to be doing today, fighting for our democracy. Right. Our democracy means means the neoliberal globalist order. And I frankly think that there are, it's almost like there are two battlegrounds in the deep state. And there's an article on LouRockwell.com I might have to talk about later in which, it's not like, you know how they use George Carlin's deal about it's a big club and you're not in it. You know, that sort of thing. And frankly, even, you have the neoliberal side of it, and you also have the Trump side because it's a big club that he's in, too. And it's not, and you can't just trust everything that comes out of the Trump administration either, because it is kind of like two sides of big power battling it out right now. It's like, it's like two mob groups that are trying to do a hit on the other, All right. I appreciate your call there, Francine. We'll talk more, maybe have some more open phone coming up, okay? It's 20 before 8, standing by Mr. Outdoors. We'll do an update on the amazing weather we've been having the last few days, okay?
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those.
Hi, I'm Steven with Steven Westfall Roofing, Inc., and I'm on KMED.
Something tells me Steven's going to be busy the next few days, along with all the other roofers, too, for that matter. Mr. Outdoors, Greg Roberts, how you doing this morning over at RogueWeather.com? I'll tell you, you've been busy, and it has just been... It's been astounding to me how what was going to be originally a little bit of snow ended up turning into a much bigger valley snow and ice level. Most of it hasn't really hurt Josephine County. Most of the damage, I think, and the power outages have been mostly in Jackson County. Not to say that there aren't any, but a lot of it. It's been snow, heavy wet snow, heavy ice, and then breaking lines and trees, right? Pretty much what we're dealing with.
Yeah, and, looking at what happened Monday, because no forecaster saw that coming.
No.
And also, none of the models told us we were going to have that kind of event. But what did happen was we had a front set up in California associated with an atmospheric river that was going through. And where it was positioned, it did two things. It allowed that heavier moisture to train right in over the top of us. And then the system that is going to impact us today into tomorrow started pumping colder air in. And that colder air first came in aloft, but with the volume of moisture coming out of the sky, it transported that cold air down to the surface, and we were at 34 degrees here in the bowl in Medford, and that actually is a pretty much ideal temperature to maximize snowfall in that kind of setup. That's exactly what we got.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back in history, that actually had happened before here in Medford, and it happened in January of 1971, which was an event I vividly remember because I was staying with my grandparents in their house over in East Medford off of Barnett Road. Went to bed on Saturday night. It was pouring rain. Woke up on Sunday morning and knew something was different because it was so bright in the bedroom, and looked out the curtain and it was dumping down snow, and we already had a lot of snow in that event. In my grandparents' place, we got 10 inches of snow. Medford National Weather Service put a list out of the top 10 snowfalls they have recorded in Medford. We had 10 inches in East Medford at the grandparents. They had, I'm trying to remember, I think it was 6-something, but it was the exact same thing.
Yeah, so this is not unheard of, Greg, is what we're talking about. But it doesn't happen very often, though, in the valley.
Right, and then people wanted to know if this was the same setup as the snow bomb in 2017, and no, it was not. That was a different circumstance altogether because the atmosphere was actually in reverse. We had a very deep pool of cold air at the surface. Mm-hmm. Warm, very moisture-rich air came over the top of that. And then the moisture comes down through that cold layer, and it turned into snow, but it was dumping down out of the sky at such a volume. That's when we had our snow bomb in 2017 that I wound up with nearly 13 inches here at World Headquarters. And then I found out by looking at that list, National Weather Service office out there on the north end of the airport got just over 8 inches. So again, what we're talking about here, and then what happened on Monday, I got 5 3/4 inches. National Weather Service office got 6.3. Now I'm illustrating microclimating for you and how it happens even within the city of Medford.
Yeah, and that's why you have to give a range. There's no way to micro-target how much snow you necessarily might get in your neighborhood. It's just the way it is.
Exactly. Right. It is impossible here to do. So we have to issue our winter weather bulletins, whether it's a winter weather advisory or a winter storm warning, in really broad ranges of snowfall, because there's just no way to know for certain how much any one area is going to get. And then sometimes we have to get to the day of to actually see how it's going to go down. And that is the case today. We've now put the winter weather advisory back in for Jackson County. I say we, National Weather Service. And again, we're back to looking where we could see an additional 4 inches of snow in Jackson and Josephine counties.
Yeah, Josephine looks to be a little heavier, though. A little heavier snow, would that be a fair assessment possibility?
No, I was just getting ready to say, depending on how you get hit by the showers that are clearly going to happen today, and then our real X factor is the potential for thunder snow. What's thunder snow? A thunderstorm that produces snow, not rain, and when those things happen, they pretty typically will dump real heavy snow in big bursts quickly, and Medford National Weather Service is saying we have a 20% chance for thunder snow today. That's real high.
Wow.
For the valleys.
You know what's really interesting about that is it was a number of years ago, we actually had a transmitter antenna get hit during thunder snow because the lightning was so intense and it actually damaged the antenna. It had to be replaced.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
remember,
you know.
You were blown away.
Yeah, because...
Like, well, no, it happens.
Yeah, and you just don't think about the lightning coming out in the middle of... there was high wind and snow going on at the same time, and it creates that static electricity. And it just, it smacked the antenna, bent the antenna pieces, blew a hole in the pipes down below. Yep. It was astounding what that did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got that potential today, and thunder snow events that develop, you're talking inch per hour snowfall. It'll be interesting to see how long that sustains. But I was at a ski race one time in Tahoe. We had a thunder snow event happen, and of course, we were immediately put on hold. We got lucky. We were down there by a lodge, so we went into the lodge, but it started dumping snow at the rate of 4 inches an hour in that thunder snow event, and I can accurately gauge that because it persisted for an hour, and we got 4 inches of snow.
Man, that is a big dumping. Now, here in the valleys, what do you think? Now, I know that it's always sketchier up at the pass levels. Is it still mostly going to be Siskiyou that's dealing with the brunt of an even right now? Or are we looking at even the four passes north of Grants Pass, et cetera? How would you?
Right now, this morning, it's the quad passes between Grants Pass and Canyonville that are really seeing the snow impact, at least what I saw looking at webcams before I came on. I am not certain if Siskiyou webcams are back on. Power trees went down across power lines, knocked out the webcams for ODOT and the Siskiyous, and knocked out the webcams at Mount Ashland. So I'm not sure if they got that restored, because I was looking at what I could see. So the quad passes right now between Grants Pass and Canyonville definitely getting impacted by snow. I could see pictures of snow plows working on Sexton Summit. But the big surprise this morning is Highway 38 out to the coast. Mm-hmm. That'll take you through Elkton, Scottsburg, those areas headed out towards Reedsport. It is dumping snow at Wells Creek, at Scottsburg, Elkton. But the Highway 38 is snow covered at places you don't ever typically see it, especially Wells Creek. And it is snowing along the coast this morning. Northern Oregon coast yesterday definitely was getting snow. Had a picture come in from Pacific County, Washington. That is the county on the Washington side of the Astoria-Megler Bridge. When you cross the Columbia, 8 inches of snow there.
Boy, that is really something. Now, how many more days do you think this pattern's going to keep up? Because I know trying to get into certain homes, into certain, well, like I said, I still need to get up to some of those sites that I always maintain, and I don't feel like going up there this morning, as an example, with snow continuing to fall like this. How many more days do you think?
Well, this is when you need to get your snowmobiling buddy Steve on the line to get ready to go to Towers, because
so I got to call up Porter, huh? Okay.
Yeah, right now. And I need to take another look at this, but the last time I looked at this, NOAA was predicting a setup where I would have the potential for putting valley floor snow, accumulating snow in the valleys all the way out through the 17th.
Okay. I wasn't really. I don't think that was on our bingo card a little earlier this year.
Yeah, and again, by the way, only Rogue Weather is talking about this.
Huh.
So, another reason, if you're not already doing it, you should be following me, and I'll be kind of blunt. Yeah, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Yes, I know there's a lot of people out there, 99.9% of whom who've never met me, that talk evil about me in the community and say what a jerk and what an a-hole I am. I know it because I hear it. But
you know, it's not every day somebody gets to admit that on the broadcast for it, but that's okay.
Yeah,
all right.
The simple fact is, while you may not necessarily care for me as a person, you better care about the information I'm going to put out, because I promise you, I'm going to put out things that nobody else will. That's one of them.
All right. Hey, Greg, want to take a call or two?
Valley floor snow to the 17th.
You want to take a call or two on this? Sure. Given everybody hates you? All right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just teasing. But anyway, let's go to line two. Hi, you're on caller with Greg. You want to talk weather? Morning.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Just want you to know, up top of Walker in Ashland,
yeah,
I put a tape in last night after the snow stopped, 16 inches.
16 at Walker?
Yeah, that
really
doesn't surprise me. I, you know, Ashland is right there in that zone that's getting included in the winter storm warnings right now. You know, and I've had other reports that people say they live in Ashland, but they don't define it for me, that they're pushing 2 feet.
Man, I'll tell you, well, this explains then why Pacific Power is just struggling to get some power back in a lot of these neighborhoods he's talking about. You know, when you're talking that much snow, you're snowcat level to get to some of these hills then.
Exactly. And then they're struggling because the snow is hitting over such wide areas. Other areas that would normally be sending us some of their crews to help get everything restored here, they're dealing with issues of their own, so you know we're kind of having to rely on the people that are already here, and they've got a lot of work to do out there.
I'll bet you're right about that. Hi, good morning, caller. You're with Greg at Rogue Weather. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Tom here.
Hey, Tom.
Greg, I live next to Bear Creek, and when all the snow starts to melt, what are the chances of it overflowing the banks? Because it is indeed about a foot high here.
Right, and I'm glad you said that, because I want to address that. A lot of people are really concerned about that, and I get that. However, I am not sharing that concern at this point. Because, number one, I've been pointing out, it seems like all winter, the fact we didn't have any snowpack between 3,500 and 5,000 feet. Well, we're definitely getting that now, thank God, but that's also going to act as a buffer and a bit of a sponge, and I don't foresee anything happening that I think, you know, we'd have the potential for seeing big floods with a lot of runoff because the La Nina has now definitely kicked in, and all of the extended range outlooks that I am seeing are talking about winter conditions persisting all the way to the end of April and perhaps even getting beyond that.
And this would actually be good news for hanging on to the snow a little bit longer, I guess.
Right.
Again, all right.
Get further in time, we get further away from when those type of flood events are most likely to happen. And for us in this part of the world, that's December and January.
All right. Hey, Tom, appreciate the call. And one final question before we cut you loose to the rest of your day job and you keep doing your posts and stuff on rogueweather.com. Would have to do with the concerns continue. Remember, I talked to you last week. People are always writing me about the 15% level on the Applegate. Is that going to start filling up then from what we've been looking at, or will the sponge kind of hold it back? What do you think?
You know, here's the funny part. Everybody's writing you going so concerned. I see the pictures and things people are sending me and going, wow, that's got more water in it than it typically does at this time of the year.
I guess what they were looking at, though, was the teacup diagram over on the...
Interesting when people start paying attention to things. I looked at that after you mentioned that, and I'm like, no, that's pretty much right about where it is typically at this time of the year because Applegate fills so fast.
And so you can't keep it really full right now, otherwise you're going to be in trouble when the stuff really does come. Okay.
Right.
All right. All right, Greg, hey, appreciate the call as always, and thanks for taking a little dip in there. And so what we're seeing here is status quo for the next few days, I would imagine, then. It's what you're telling me.
Yeah,
huh?
And again, we may hit periods of time, and this coming weekend is a perfect example. We're going to hit periods of time where we will see snow hitting valley floors in the overnight, in the morning hours, and we may pick up an inch or two of accumulation. Then in the midday in the afternoon, air warms up. We start seeing rain transition in. We'll have some melt-off, but then we hit that next overnight morning period, and boom, down come snow levels again, down on valley floor levels, and we start the process all over again.
All right. Appreciate the update. And, Greg, we'll keep up with you over on Rogue Weather. Thanks for calling in, okay? Be well.
You got it, Bill. Talk to you soon.
It is Shea Before 8, KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass.
When you choose a contractor, how do you know you're getting the best? Anyone can claim to be the area.
This is News Talk 106.3, KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
My gosh, this is going to be a snowstorm era for the ages, at least around here. We'll be thinking about this for a few years here. And I'm looking here at a picture of friends we have that live on Park Street in Ashland. And they just sent me a picture, which is just absolutely amazing. I'd say it's probably 18 inches, maybe 2. Yeah, 2 feet easily. And that's probably 2 feet having smooshed down a little bit. But, hey, Mother Nature, I guess. Makes me wonder if schools will be really getting back into business this week, but we'll certainly keep you apprised of such matters, okay? Now then, speaking of schools, Rob Schlaffer will join me from the Oregon Education Project. They are doing their best to reform the schools, and the schools being closed is a perfect time to talk about this. We'll kick it all around with him in a few minutes, and especially what they're thinking about President Trump and the executive orders, all sorts of the anti-DEI, anti-transgender care, you know, kind of executive orders which have been coming through. And this could control about 10-15% of school funding in the state of Oregon. And I'm kind of curious if they're following these orders and starting to change things up. We'll talk with Rob about that. Of course, we'll have your calls and opinion, too.